We at the First Pentecostal Church of God want to thank you for taking the time to listen to the message that God has revealed to our church. We hope and pray that it encourages you and strengthens you for His service. May God bless you as you listen. I want to talk to you tonight. You know, last week we talked about get over them. Talked about getting over people. How many know you got to get over people sometimes? People can stop you from progressing forward. But tonight I want to talk to you about get over yourself. All right? Get over yourself. How many know that the truth is that we blame the enemy for a lot of things that really is just us? Amen? And a lot of Christians do that. They say, well, the enemy's attacking me, when really what we're doing is submitting to the attacks, or we're submitting to ourselves, and we're not really allowing God to move in us, through us, or take us places. We're hindering the work of God in our lives. So sometimes what we blame for the enemy really is our own doing sometimes. When we say, God, how come you haven't used me? Maybe God is saying, well, you haven't really been there to be used. You know, there's a lot of times in our lives that we can find that we get in the way ourselves, and we can blame the enemy for something. Flip Wilson actually was one of the major components for this. He said that the devil made me do it. How many remember that? The devil made me do it. It wasn't me, it was the devil. Well, you know that's not true, right? I mean, we make our own decisions. We choose ourselves. And when we get in the way of ourselves, that really hinders what God can do in our lives. And we see this in the life of Moses, because God comes to Moses and he says to Moses, Moses is tending Jethro's flock, his father-in-law's sheep. He's taking him in. The Bible said he took him to the backside of the mountain, probably somewhere he didn't go often, but he went to the backside of the mountain, and there he saw a bush that was burning. And he saw it burning, but it didn't consume. So in his mind, he says, this is very unnatural. I've got to go check this out. So he leaves the sheep, and the Bible said that when God saw that, he turned aside, which meant that God recognized his interest in what was going on. So he goes to see what's going on, and when he gets there, the Bible says that God speaks to him out of the burning bush and says, Moses, you need to take off your shoes, because where you're standing is holy ground. Moses takes off his shoes, and God begins to speak to him. He says, Moses, I've heard the cry of my children Israel in Egypt, and I want to send you back to Egypt to deliver my children. And Moses hears the call and says, he's contemplating it. When we get to chapter 4, verse 1, Moses responds to God, and he says, God, they will not believe me. He literally doubts himself. He doubts himself. And God's dealing with him to go forward. They're not going to believe me. He doubts his ability to cause these people to believe that he's there for God on God's behalf. Then he says, they're not going to listen to me. He doubts his ability to literally get the crowd rallied around him. He doubts his own voice and his ability to lead the people. And then he says, they will not believe that you sent me. Then he even doubts that he can convince people that he's called. There's quite a bit of doubt there, amen, in Moses' heart. He doubts that God has called him, or he doubts that he can convince others that God has called him. He doubts himself that he can do it, and he has serious insecure issues about how other people view him. And because of that, he is literally hindering himself. There's no question. God is speaking to him. A bush is talking to him. Okay, does anybody else, if a bush talked to you, has anybody had a bush talk to you? Okay, I've never had a bush talk to me. I've never seen a bush talk to me. The only time I've seen a bush talk was on TV with a Three Amigos. That's the only time I've ever seen a bush talk. Never seen any other bushes in the world talk. Except Moses' story is that God spoke to him out of a burning bush. God is talking to him. Separate, he said, take off your shoes because where you stand is holy. God is literally speaking to Moses. But Moses is getting in the way of God's call. You see what I'm going here? Moses is getting in the way of God's call because he has doubt in his life to his own abilities. And understand something. When God calls you, he's not calling you because he sees in you an ability to do it. Amen? Because then it's not God doing it. Think about it. Why did God call Gideon? One of the most insecure men in the world. An angel comes to him and says, thou mighty man of valor. And he turns around and goes, who are you talking to, buddy? Amen? Remember the story? Gideon says, well, he says, I want you to get the army ready. We're going to go down there. We're going to fight. And he has 32,000 men. God says that's too many men because God wants to prove to Gideon that he does not need the men to give him deliverance. He just needs the willingness of the men. So God whittles Gideon down to 300 men because God is showing Gideon that it's not by his natural ability that God is going to give victory. Victory is never, what we need to understand is that victory is never attained by us. It is always received as God gives it. Amen? Scripture teaches us this, that victory is never attained by what we do, but it's given by God as a gift to you and I. God, what did God say to Joshua? We've read it several times as we've been studying it. I have given into thy hand Jericho. I have given into thy hand Ai. I have given the land into your hand, Joshua. God said, I'm giving you victory. Victory is yours. You just got to take it. Amen? So Moses is hearing the voice of God, but he doesn't understand how God could use him. He's a murderer. Come on now. He rose up against an Egyptian and he killed him. He's a murderer and he buried his body in the sand and fled for his own life like a coward. That's why he's tending Jethro's sheep. Now, when Moses fled Egypt, he was 40 years old. Stephen preaches a fantastic message in the book of Acts, chapter 7, and it tells us Moses' age. Moses was 40 years old when he killed the Egyptian, and he's 80 right now when God's talking to him. So we're talking 40 years difference between chapter 1 all the way to chapter 2. Chapter 2 is where he actually killed the Egyptian, I believe, or chapter 3, one of those chapters. He kills an Egyptian in 2 or 3. So from chapters 2 to chapter 4, we've got 40 years difference. When he flees from Egypt down to Midian, and he's there tending Jethro's flock, and God says to him at 80 years old, to a murderer, I want to send you. That tells me that God is so powerful. Not only can he give you victory, he doesn't care where you come from. He can even overcome you. Praise God. He can overcome your insecurities, your doubts, your fears, and praise be to Jesus, even your past. Amen. And all of us have a past. And if you want to throw stones at people because of where they come from, brother, we ought to throw them at you first because you come from somewhere too. Hey, man, we all have a past. Moses is a murderer on the backside of a mountain hiding out for his life. And God says, I want you to go back to Egypt. And he says, God, they ain't going to believe me. I'm a murderer. God, they're not going to hear my voice. They know what I've done. They won't believe that you even spoke to me, God. I'm a murderer, God. You know, you could say, all of us could literally say, God, why would you call me? Look at how horrible I am. Amen? But see, that's the thing. God did not call you because he saw in you an ability to do something. He called you because he has the ability. All he needs is your willingness. He just needs you to say, okay. Now, what I love about God is that God is patient with Moses. And he says to Moses, Moses, what do you have in your hand? Verse 2, he says that. What do you got in your hand? Now, listen, for 40 years, Moses has been literally tending the flock of Jethro. So this is something Moses knows. He knows how to handle his rod. Amen? He's got a good handle on how to take care of the sheep of Jethro. He is confident in his ability to tend the sheep, to water the sheep, to take them out into the pastures where they can be fed. If they get out of line, to even use his rod to whoop them into shape. He's got confidence to be a shepherd. And so God says to him, what do you have in your hand? For me, I see this as God saying, what is it that you're confident in? What is it that you have faith in? You see, faith is a level of confidence. You know, if you go too far, it becomes pride. If you go too far back, it's literally, what would you call it, a lack of confidence. Give me a word. Anyone got a word for lack of confidence? Doubt. It'd be doubt. Thank you. I said it already. Doubt. So Moses has got the rod in his hand, and God is saying to him, tell me what you got. Moses says, I got a rod. He said, throw it on the ground. Now, what do we know about the ground already? Oh, hallelujah. I'm getting ready to preach right now. God said, Moses, what you have in your hand, what you're confident in, what you're strong with, what you know, throw it on what's holy. And let me show you what I can do with it. Let me show you what I can do with a little bit of faith and confidence. Let me show you what I can do with a little bit of what I can do with a little bit of your excitement and your power that you think you have. And when the Bible said that he threw it on the ground, that it became a serpent. And the Bible said that it scared Moses, that he fled from it. You know what I love about this passage? Is that God is so amazing. That when he threw down what he was confident in on that holy ground, it scared him what God can do. My Bible said that he's able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that I can even ask or think. That means if I can ask, he can do it. If I can think it, it's capable. God can do even above what I can ask or think. I never would have ever asked God, I'm going to throw this stick on the ground, please make it a snake. Amen? But when Moses took what he was confident and he threw it on what God deemed as holy, at that very moment it became God's rod. And God turned it into a serpent and it made him afraid. But what I love about God is that God didn't leave him in the fear and the lack of confidence, but he said to Moses, take hold of it. What he's telling him is, don't be afraid of what I'm capable of, Moses. Take hold of what I'm giving to you. Don't be afraid of what I can do, but grab it. Don't run away from it, but take hold of it. Listen, God, when God calls you, you know, it is scary what the Lord can do through you. Oh, mercy. You're too tired tonight. You need to be awake because this is better preaching than you're sleeping. Amen. Moses was afraid, and many Christians are the same way. God, when God does something miraculous, we often stand there with our jaw to the floor. When I was looking at the $45,000 check at my desk, I was... I was in shock for the building project. I was in shock. And then I remembered that the Lord said that he would give it to us. And I go, well, I guess I ought to expect it. I mean, if God said it, I should expect it to come. I ought not to be sitting here with my jaw dropped to the floor in shock, because my Bible said he's able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that I can ask or even think or comprehend. God can do greater. And God said, Moses, don't be afraid of what I'm going to do, but take hold of what I'm doing. Take hold of it. In other words, Moses, I'm calling you to Egypt. I don't want you to be afraid of where I'm calling you. Take hold of it and I'll go with you. Now, God was doing this because he's building confidence in Moses that he's going to be able to convince others that God has called him. Now, God gives us an ability to convince others that he has put his hand upon us. He does. He does. He gives us an ability to convince others that he has put his hand upon us. You would not know that I was called to be a pastor if I did not get up here and I ministered the word. You guys voted me in because you saw in me the call. Amen? You recognized God's hand somewhere. And you said, that's God's hand. And you voted me in as pastor. If you did not see that and you voted for me, shame on you. Amen? If you saw that and you voted for me, praise the Lord, because I saw it too. Amen? All of us have had experiences with God that God said, I need you to do this. Or maybe you haven't, and maybe that's coming, and maybe that's why I'm teaching you this now. Don't get in the way of yourself. Amen? Let God do what he wants to do, because he's a miracle-working God. Amen? He's a miracle-working God. He can do exceedingly and abundantly above all that we can ask or think. Moses, don't be afraid of it, but take hold of it, he said. And he said, Moses, if they won't believe that sign, take your hand, put it in your bosom. Takes his hand, puts it in his bosom. Basically, that's archaic language for stick it in your jacket. Okay? And he puts it in his jacket, he pulls it out, and it's leprous. Then he says, put it back in, he pulls it out, and it's back to normal skin. God is literally giving him these miracles to show and prove his call. So when he goes down before the Israelites, he's going to say, the Lord has sent me. And they're going to say, oh yeah? What's his name? Well, I am that I am sent me. Oh yeah? Well, who is I am that I am? Well, let me show you this. Throw the rod out there. Turns into a snake. Ooh. If that don't work, put your hand in here and pull it out. Oh. And he said, if they won't believe those two signs, then I want you to actually take water out of the Nile, pour it on the ground, and it'll become blood. God gives him three signs because he got three doubts. Amen? They won't believe me, they won't hearken to my voice, and they won't believe you called me. Amen? Three signs for three doubts, and God gives it to him. And when God gives him the signs, then the truth comes out. Because the signs weren't where the rubber meted the road. There was a whole deeper point behind why Moses said, they will not believe me. Because Moses said, God, I'm pretty slow of speaking. Matter of fact, if you have King James Bible, it says, and heretofore. Okay, that's Elizabethan language for before. That means the past. I haven't been able to speak good in the past either. I've never been able to speak good. I am slow of tongue. I am slow. I can't speak. In other words, we would call it stuttering. Okay? Or if he didn't stutter, he couldn't, his words just didn't compile fast enough to put a sentence together like you and I can hold a conversation. Moses was not a man that you sat down with at dinner and held a very meaningful conversation with. Amen? Now, Moses suffered with insecurity because of the fact that he could not effectively speak. So if you're sitting down at a meal with Moses, you're going to talk to him, and it's going to take him a long, long time to say hello. You get what I'm saying? So what normally you and I would take seconds to get through takes Moses a long time. So for him to go up in front of the king, of the Pharaoh himself, and say, let my people go. Moses has been like, amen. And he was afraid of the ridicule. He's afraid that the people will look at him and say, you're not eloquent. How would God call a stutterer? A stuttering murderer. Okay, there's the deepness of it. And God said, Moses, I will be with your voice. He said, I will be with your voice. Now get this. God said, I will teach you what to say. He didn't say, I'm going to heal your stutter. He said, I'm going to teach you. I'm going to teach you. You know, God's a teacher. Sometimes he allows things to stay in our lives to teach us. Amen? He didn't say, Moses, I'm going to make you the fastest talker in the West. You can preach as fast as you want, as fast as you want, as fast as you want. You can talk as fast as you want. No, God didn't say that. God said, I am going to teach you how to speak. I'm going to teach you what to say. And I'm going to teach you how to say it. I went to Bible college, and they told me I couldn't just get up there and spit all over you people. They said, listen, you young preachers, you've got 10 to 20 seconds to get the people's attention before they fall asleep. Some of you I lost already. You're just tired. Don't worry. Sunday, sometimes service is a good place to get a good spiritual nap. Amen? Not knocking that. But I remember them telling me, listen, you've got 20 seconds tops to get their attention. And so they tell people, this is why you hear a lot of preachers tell jokes before they preach. You get to laugh it, and all of a sudden you're engaged with the preacher. You thought that they were just being funny. Ha, ha, ha. They suckered you. They wanted you to pay attention to the word, so they told you a joke so you'd listen. I like stories. I like to tell stories. So I will usually sometimes start with a story. You ever notice that? I do that on purpose because if I can get your attention in the story will go along with where I'm going in the preaching. I can usually keep your attention most of the way. But I know some of you will go in and out of attention span. You just told on yourself. You'll be listening. Praise you, Jesus. Next moment, oh, that turkey could be burning. I don't know about the turkey. I got to do the laundry tomorrow. I got to wash the car. Oh, man, I got to go to work at 8 in the morning. Got 5, I got to get the kids. I got to take care of the dinner. I've got to take care of my husband. My husband needs to eat more than the kids do. I got to cook more food. You get what I'm saying? There's a lot of distractions. So I was taught in Bible college that you got to overcome the distractions. I was also taught that I could not be monotone.
Let me talk to you now about the things of God. And God is good, and he loves you very much. And you are already falling asleep as I'm talking to you now.
Amen? Now, they also taught me that I couldn't just be monotone that way because I could be monotone on a high pitch. I could be preaching 100 miles a minute and still be monotone. Because monotone is just a straight pitch. So they were teaching me how to speak for God, on God's behalf. They taught me how to go, glory to God. And they taught me how to go, glory to God. You get what I'm saying? How to flux my voice, how to keep your attention, how to tell a story, how to formulate a message to keep your attention, how people think and how they operate so that I can properly teach. God said, Moses, I'm going to teach you how to speak. He didn't say, I'm going to heal you. He said, I'm going to teach you. One of the greatest qualities that Moses possesses is meekness. The Bible said he's the meekest man on earth. That's what they said. He was a meek man. So if God would have healed Moses of that little bit of himself, he could have lost a little bit of that meekness that he had. So I believe God is saying, I'm going to teach you how to speak, how to handle it, how to say it, how to fluctuate your voice, how to have a commanding presence. I'm going to teach you how to do it, and God said, I'm going to be with your mouth. So there's going to be a weightiness to the words. Amen? God says, there's going to be a weightiness to the words. I'm going to put weight behind what you say. Have you ever heard preachers that had no weight behind what they're saying? This is the difference between an anointed preacher and a non-anointed preacher. Amen? I've sat under all of them. I've sat in churches where I wondered what they said after I left. Amen? I hope you don't do that here, Bless God. But I have sat under preachers where they did not get my attention. What they said meant nothing. It was shallow. It was weak. It had no power, had no punch. Then I've sat under preachers that when the moment they announced their text, there was anointing behind their voice. God was with their voice. And when they said the text and they read the text and they announced the title, there was something weighty about it. They didn't have to tell me a story to keep my attention. They didn't have to tell me a joke so I'd pay attention. They didn't have to keep me occupied so I didn't think about the dinner, think about the kids, think about the wife, think about the cars, or think about what I've got to do next week. There was a weightiness to the words because God was with them. And there's a big difference. God said, Moses, I'm going to teach you how to speak. Not only that, I am going to anoint your words. There's going to be a weight behind them. So when you say to Pharaoh, let my people go, there's going to be authority, anointing, power behind your words. He said, I'm going to be with you, Moses. But then Moses says, oh God, after all this, after the signs, after the God, Moses coming clean, I'm slow of speech, and God's saying, I'm going to teach you and I'll be with your voice. He says, send somebody else. I'm baffled by that text. I read it like 5 times today. Send someone else. The Bible says God got angry at that point because Moses is literally getting in the way of what God wants to do. Think about it. Here, Moses is at a crossroad. A decision has to be made. Will he go or will he not go? The decision is Moses' decision. But he's already getting in the way of himself. And he says, send somebody else. And the Bible says God got angry at him. What else do you need from me, man? I mean, think about it, faith believers. If I came over here and I threw a rod down and said, the Lord told me to tell you we're going to build this building. Well, you already know that's going to happen. But the Lord told me to tell you, but this is how I know that we're going to build it. And I throw a rod down, it turns into a serpent. You're all going to jump up on your seat and go, oh, mercy. Amen? And if I take my hand, stick it in my jacket, pull it out, and it looks like leprous, and I put it back in and I bring it out, some of you might say, this guy's a magician. Amen? But if I tell you I'm not a magician and tell you the Lord told me to tell you, and if I go out there and get dirt out of somewhere out here in this little desert out here, and I come back in and I pour it in a vase and it turns into blood, you're going to be like, whoa. Amen? God is giving Moses everything he needs. Moses doesn't need an ability. He just needs to get out of his own way. Amen? He just needs to get out of his own way so God can use him, so God can bless him. Sometimes we get in the way of what God really wants to do in our lives. Amen? Think about this for a moment. How many altar calls did you miss when God said, come? How many times when God said, speak for me, you did not speak that you missed? How many times when God said, go that way, you did not go that way, but the other way you went? How many times did God say, stay there, and you did not stay there because you were impatient and you went on your own? Amen? We could go down countless stories of our lives where we got in the way of what God was trying to do because we had an agenda, or we thought something different, or we didn't think we were capable. God, there's an old cliche or the old saying that is still rings true today. God does not call the qualified. He qualifies them whom he calls. And when God calls you, he's not calling you because you have an ability that he says, oh my gosh, I can surely use that person. Look at the talent in that one. That one's got a talent. I can use that one. That one's got a talent. No, God doesn't do that. He took a stuttering murderer to deliver the children of Israel. He rescued Noah on an ark, and the Bible said when he got off the ark, he built a vineyard and got drunk. So the man who found grace is a drunkard. The man who delivered Egypt, the children of Israel, is a murdering, stuttering guy, full of doubt. Even Elijah got suicidal at one moment in his life. Lord, just kill me. I can't take anymore. Amen. Some of God's greatest people battled some of the most difficult things. But God doesn't call people who don't battle or don't deal with things in their life. God calls people to himself because he has the ability all within himself. He just needs your willingness to say, okay. Okay. And Moses said, God, send somebody else. Send somebody else. Somebody else can do it. Listen, anytime that you take a job in this church and you don't do it, you're saying exactly what Moses said. Oh, I felt the anointing. I felt like I should have danced right there. Amen? I've had people literally come to me and say, I feel like God wants us to do this. And I say, then go do it. But what they really should have said is, I think you should go do this. And my response is, God didn't tell me to do that. He told you to do that. I will support you in doing that. Amen? I've had it the other way. I've had some people say, I don't know what to do. I've got toilets that need clean. I've got media stuff that needs done. I got tons of work. Tons. We get weeds that pop up every now and then. And there's more stuff. Oh, there's all kinds of stuff. There's stuff to do. The problem is that people they don't see it, and then they don't want to get engaged in it, or they're not looking hard enough to do it. And then when people do it, or they say they're going to do it, they never finish it. Amen. God, when God calls you to something and he says do something, he doesn't retract. Matter of fact, there was a couple times, I'm almost finished, don't worry, I'm almost done. I dealt with some difficult situations in my own life where I almost quit preaching. I was just done with people. I had been beat up by so many people. I mean, I had religious people beat on me. I had friends beat on me. I had all kinds of, and the people I thought would have picked me up walked by almost and said, if you would have listened to me, you wouldn't have been there. Looked at me with where I was like lesser, you know. And the people that I thought for sure would have picked up stones and stoned me were the ones who mended the wounds and picked me up and showed me true Christian love. If it wasn't for them, I would not be a Christian today. Serious. If it wasn't for the loving people who showed me a real love of Christ, I would not be a Christian today. Because the religious people spit on me, beat on me, kicked me, and told me if I would have listened to them, I wouldn't have been in that mess. Well, thank you for your religious pride. But I didn't need, I told you so. I needed someone to mend the wounds. Amen? So I got to a point where I was almost done. I was just right at that point. And I went in, I always go to God with my final prayer, you know. Like, it's my last stitch effort. I don't know why I do that, but I do. Like, I go to God at that final moment. I'm like, I can't take any more, and I'm finished. And I go to God, and I say, God, I'm done. I don't know how many times I've had this prayer. I can't take any more. Why'd you call me to preach? Why didn't you just let me be a worker? I could slave and be a great church member. Let me be a church member. Come on, somebody. That's good preaching. Amen. I know I'm not the only one that has said that. Praise God. I'll be the best church member the world has ever seen. Maybe even go advance into the board or something. I'll be a great support to a pastor. Why don't you let me do that? And there was one moment where I said, God, I'm finished. These people have made me so mad and I'm frustrated. I can't take anymore. And the Lord spoke to me and said, Bruce, you told me you'd serve me forever and that you'd do what I wanted you to do. And then he said, my call is without repentance. despite where I was and how bad I felt, or how horrible I had been, or how people had ridiculed me, or what they saw of me. God, what I love about God is that God doesn't look at us through the eyes of other human beings. He looks at us through His eyes, through the eyes of His Son, through the blood of His Son, through the risen Savior, His Son. He doesn't see me the way you see me. You may not like me, but God loves me. And other people may ridicule me, but God loves me. I might have been a murderer. I might have been depressed. I might have wanted to commit suicide. I might have been sick in body. I might have been horrible. I might have done horrible things. But praise be to Jesus. God doesn't see that. He sees Jesus. He sees Christ. Praise God that His calls without repentance. Moses says, send somebody else. And God looks at him. He's angry with him. But I love God because God is patient. He says, okay, Moses, I know Aaron can speak well. I'll tell you, you tell Aaron. And Moses was content with that. But later on, if you study the life of Moses, Moses learns to listen and get taught how to speak for God. Despite Aaron being standing right there. Amen. The story says that Moses takes the children of Israel to Mount Sinai, and he goes up on the mountain, and God gives him the law, the Ten Commandments. God writes them in the stone, carves it out, and here comes Moses with the stone tablets down the mountain. And the children of Israel have committed a whoredom in the eyes of God. And Moses didn't have a stuttering problem then. He had learned something on that mountain with God. Amen. He learned how to be taught how to speak on God's behalf. And he did. And he did. Remember this. Get out of the way of yourself so God can use you. Don't hinder yourself. Don't. It's not you that God isn't calling you because you're talented. He's calling you because if you're willing, He can do something great with you.